What I wanted to say, even tonight, I feel there was almost like treacles of what happened on Tuesday. I feel the Lord wants to do even greater here this evening. And so, yeah, so I was just kind of just meditating on this because, you know, one of the things, I think we've all had experiences of the Holy Spirit to some degree, but I almost felt like what you had there is nothing to what I feel the Lord wants to do. And, you know, we can have nice meetings. And by nice, I mean the coffee's nice, you guys, the fellowship, the warmth, the welcoming. You guys are lovely people to be with, and that in itself is a lekker thing. I love being with you, and I love the worship, and I love sitting under the word of when people share. But all of that can be a nice meeting, but not have the presence of God in that meeting. And I don't know about you, I want the presence of God because I know when He's here, there's life, there's freedom, there's healing. You know, God wants to work with every single one of us. And when God's here, let me tell you, just think of it. Just think of what we call to do. When we come together, what the Bible talks about, the ecclesia, the church comes together, the gathering of the saints come together. Do you know, it's kind of arrogant in ourselves. Say, God, look, we've got a time slot from 4 to 7. King of kings, Lord of the universe, the one who created everything, the one who breathed life into you. The one who holds, He's the keeper of eternity. God, come to our meeting here and meet with us. It's kind of arrogant, isn't it? Okay, between 4 and 5, well, 5, we're still deciding, Lord, but when the time comes, you know, we want you here. But it's the heart of God that He wants to do that. And so, yes, there's an arrogance, but it is something He's called us to do. So we don't regard it lightly. We don't. And I want to say, if you miss out on evenings like this, there is something unique in the gathering here. It's different to a Wednesday. It's different when you're home alone. Because we can throw out things, oh, you know, I'm always with the Lord. It's just, you know, even when I'm at home, you know, or if I'm with my little family, you know, 2 or 3 are gathered, there He is in the midst. We can quote things like that. But there is something of the gathering of the saints that God says, my people that choose to dwell in my presence, I'm going to come and meet with them. There is something unique about that. And so I want to encourage you guys, even for this evening, is to open your hearts, because God doesn't want us to walk away from a meeting and say, well, that was good nuggets, you know, I can hold on to that for next week. And no, I think when the presence of God, yeah, there's things that change in our lives drastically. Think of it. When you meet with Him, it's not just I can walk away, oh, that was nice. It's like I walk away and I'm like, God, you've done something. You've changed my heart. You've convicted me of sin. You've stirred my faith to go out. You've given me boldness of your Holy Spirit. You're doing something, Lord. And I can't be the same today as what after this meeting. I have to change because you've changed. You've worked in my heart right now. And I've got to respond to it. And the response isn't just, oh, I feel good. The response is, how does it live out in my life? How does it live out when I talk to my wife and my kids? How does it live out when I go into the workplace? Because there has to be change. You've just met with the King of Kings. Think of that. You've just met with the God, the creator of the world. You've met with Him. There's got to be some change. And there'll be a slap in the face to say the meeting was nice and God was here. I don't think God wants us to have nice meetings. But He does want us to have meetings that invite His presence so He can change His church. So He can move us from one degree of glory to the next. And so even today, I've got a scripture that I want to read. And I want to say it's not a formula that what I want to read tonight, because I want us to respond tonight to this. It's a small scripture. It's one scripture I want to read. And it's Revelations 3:20. I've asked Joel to just put that up. This is Jesus talking. And I believe this is both to every single one of your hearts, but it's also to us collectively as a church. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now listen to this. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Just keep that scripture up. I want to highlight something here. There's two things God says that we must do. Anyone, what? Hears my voice and opens the door. Two things we're called to do. Hear His voice and open the door to invite His presence. Just think about that. Hear His voice and open the door. And I, as I was just meditating on this, I was saying, God, how can we practically do this collectively? How can we? And I felt in the Lord just say, I want you to take out a little notebook this evening. So I've got a little notepad here. I want to be very practical, because one of the things, the dangers, and this is what I think we've got to realize, you know, the danger of just hearing the word and not responding to the word is we train our conscience to become callous to the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? So I've just been feeling convicted, because we sit under the word lots, and it's good. It's right that we do that. We need to sit under the word. But you know what the problem is? If we just sit under the word and there's no change, we're training our conscience to become hard towards the Holy Spirit. It's heavy. And the Bible talks about that. I'm not saying this out of my own feeling. The Bible warns us. It says, don't be deceived, brethren, that you're hearers of the word but not doers. I say we can come to church and we can hear and we can hear and we can hear, and there's no transformation happening. It's information but not transformation. That's a dangerous place to be. And I'm like saying, God, please don't make me callous. Make me callous. I can know your word inside and out, and I can expound on the revelation of who you are, and it's good, and it's good as it is, but what does it mean to me, Lord? As I see you, Jesus, as I behold you, what is it going to do in my life? Is it going to make me cleverer? Or is it going to have a heart towards what God wants? Is it going to move my heart that moves God's heart? Or is it just going to be here? And so what I felt in the Lord, to hear his voice, I'm going to ask even tonight as we spend time worshiping together. And I'm going to invite the prophetic people. I'm going to invite the people that have got words of encouragement. I've got to invite the people that have got a scripture. Because the Bible says, as we come together, he who's got a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, all those things, we come together. I'm going to write it down. In fact, I'm going to ask maybe Lauren to come and stand up here. And as we do it, I'm going to write down scriptures of what you guys are sharing. What is God saying to you? And to find the thread. And this is the thing with an elder. We call to hear that. We call to respond. What is God saying? Because he says in that scripture, if anyone hears my voice. So I don't believe we hear the voice through one man. Do you know that? But I do believe it's us collectively. The manifold wisdom of God is made known. How? Through the? You, the church. You hear what I'm saying? It's a vulnerable place for an elder, because I know I don't have it, but I know I can't produce it in myself. And so collectively it's us hearing the Lord. And then I'm going to even talk among the elders. Okay, so is this what God's saying? Is this what God's saying? Is this what God's saying? Try and find my way, because I feel God wants to do something with individuals' hearts this evening. And then to open that door, there has to be a response. You see, if we just stop here, this is what God has said, and we leave it there, we haven't done anything. So he says, but not only if you hear my word, but if you open the door. And so I want to open the door for the presence of the Spirit. I want to open the door that, however that looks, I haven't got an idea. Church, I don't know how it looks. How do we open that door? But I do know that as we seek the Lord, he will come and dine with us with that door open. And that's my heart, is that God dines with every single one sitting here. Let me tell you, there's a meal waiting for every person here. And it's the King of Kings that wants to come and serve you. Oh, I don't know about you, but that's amazing. He wants to come and just wait upon you. An amazing God. And so, I do want to say, you know, one of the things about worship, it has many forms. Sometimes we think worship just looks like this, or worship looks like that. You know, there's so many words for worship, actually. But I want to say, I was reading when Jesus was talking, it says in Mark 12:30, I didn't give it to you, Joel, don't worry. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you know, sometimes we love to love God in how we love to love God. And so some of us would love the word, and it's the mind, isn't it? When God begins to expound scripture, it's opening our mind, But it's not only. It says, love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your strength. Can I say, that means exercise. Some people say, you know, worship is not exercise. Well, he's saying strength, physical strength, yeah. So it does require exercise sometimes. And the older I get, I promise you, I'm breathless after worship and praise. It is. I'm not as fit as I should be, but I am loving him with my strength. And I want to say, don't put yourself in a box and say, well, that's not me. Because Jesus commands you to love him with all your strength. I know I'm stretching people here. And I want to say, if you're a visitor, please, I don't want to put any condemnation on you or to feel the heaviness that you've got to do this or you've got to do that. Please don't feel that, okay? If you're a visitor, relax. But I am encouraging the people that are here to say, don't put God in a box and say, that's not who I am. Can I say, worship is not about you. It's about what it makes him look like. And there's going to be times that we're going to sit in the Word and there's going to be such revelation and God's going to blow our minds. But I believe it's going to be people that are seeking him with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our minds, with all our souls. And I've heard this before. You know, I go to comms and I go to things and I hear people saying things. Like just the other night, another lady was just saying, oh, she feels convicted because she doesn't, you know, worship the way other guys worship and they stand up in the front and do it. And I know when she said that, it was God convicting her. It wasn't man. And I want to say, there's no condemnation. This is not a formula like I said in the beginning. But if God does call you to come to the front and worship, come and do it. You break open things that God wants to put, that might be a fear of man, and for some of you, it might not be being loud. Sometimes it's just being quiet before the Lord, just being silent before him. But there's still a response. And what I was saying is, you know, someone responded to her to kind of make her feel, okay, you know, it's all right if you don't jump or shout to the Lord. And she felt the Lord was telling her to do it. But the person had said to her, no, don't worry. You don't, you know, there's also an aspect of worship that's about serving. I want to challenge you on that. If that's your thought and saying, well, worship is just serving, I say, no, it's not. There is an aspect of service in worship, and that word is latruo, which means to serve. So I don't disagree. I mean, the act of what you do every day, when you go to the shops, when you're at work, how you respond to people is an act of worship to the Lord. So I agree with that. But that's not the only aspect of worship. There's words like sebo, which is to adore. Sabasma, which is veneration, great respect and reverence. There's esibia, I don't even know how to pronounce that word. But that is a dutiful devotion, a pious consistency. And that's a daily exercise. I want to say some of you lack that one. You come, you go, you come, you go, you come, you go. There's no consistency in your life. Can I say that? That's an aspect of worship. It says, like the Acts church, they devoted themselves. Devotion means there's a consistency to something because you've bought into it. You've given your heart to it. Everything is towards that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, people have to be at church every Sunday and it has to be, but there's a sense in which my heart is totally for this. I've given my life to this. And so there's an aspect of worship that maybe you lack. Then there's the proskuneo, which means to lie prostrate, where we just totally in awe of the presence of God, that all I can do is just lie flat or be on my knees. There's a response. We see that. Now, I'm not saying, again, it's not a formula, but sometimes the Lord will call us to that. All I'm doing tonight is preparing you for how a response can look. I don't know how it's going to look tonight, but I'm wanting to open our minds so our worship can be free. Sabasmo, which is to stand in awe and revere. And then there's ezekteo, is to search out. And I love this one. It's to search out. It's to seek the Lord. You know, God hides himself deliberately sometimes. Because he says in his scripture, if you seek me, and if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. There's a sense in God saying, I want to know, do you really want me? He's like hiding from us and saying, how much are you willing to push into me? Because I want you to. You know, when my boys were little, we used to play hide and seek with them. And we used to hide behind the curtain and things. And, you know, the funny thing with a two-year-old, you'd hide in the shower and he'll find you. And there's such excitement when they see you. Have you ever seen that when you had kids? Did you ever do that? And there's such excitement. I remember Brian and Connor, they would be so delighted. And then you go again and you go hide back in the shower. And that's the first place they run to now because they know, you know, because you want to be found, hey? And it's the same with the Lord. He hides himself so that he can be found. There's just something of the delight of the Lord towards his children. And he hides himself. He's, come. How much do you want to find me? Because there's intimacy in that. I had intimate moments with my boys like that. Because there was laughter, there was joy in finding us. Hello. Remember those times? And so, I don't know how worship always looks. I don't know. I can't always define worship. But I do know it's something of having the intimacy with the Lord that he wants to break open in our hearts. You know, I was reading so many songs, Psalms, where it says, I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make a medley in the Lord. Psalm 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalm 33:3, it says, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings and with loud shouts. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Play to him a new song. You know, sometimes, in a sense, and it's not talking about singing songs. Play to him a new song. I believe, you know, something of the revelation of God. There's something of the newness of who he is. You know, it talks about that. Like his kindness is new every morning. There's aspects of God that he reveals himself and we respond as like that's a new song. I've never seen that aspect of the Lord, but I want to worship him and what he's just revealed to me. That, in a sense, is a new song to him. Psalm 47:1 is clap your hands, all people. Have all of you here clapped your hands? Have all of you had a great shout? I want to hear a great shout this evening. If the Lord calls us to shout, you shout. Sometimes it's those shouts that bring the walls of Jericho in your life down. It's a response to that. Clap your hands, all people. Shout with joy. Loud songs of joy. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him a glorious praise. Psalm 71:23. It's my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. So tonight, I want to say, are you ready to invite the presence of the Lord? Are you guys ready for the Holy Spirit to work? And let's just say, I'm not putting this on the worship team. It's not going to be on talent. And I'm not saying they're not talented. And it's not going to be purely on eldership here. It's us collectively coming into the presence of God and let's make his name known. And you know, it starts with praises. You know, the Bible says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. There's something I want to say tonight, that as you come to that place of just thankfulness, something of that place that, God, man, I just want to praise you for who you are. There's something, I just delight in you. Can I say, when you do that, there's something of the presence of God that just pulls you into his presence. It's from that place of joy and delight that you've seen something of him, you've tasted something of him. Let's dine with our King this evening. Let him come and serve what he needs to serve. I don't know what the meal looks like on that table. But God does, because he's preparing it. Not me, not the elders, not Josh Jen, not Andrew. He's preparing that meal. And so who wants to eat this evening of him? I do. So Stephen, the team, there's no pressure, but we're going to worship our Lord, and we're going to worship him with everything. And so I want to invite people. Can I say, maybe this is the challenge, and again, there's no condemnation, but maybe if you're always at the back, maybe God's saying, come to the front. Or maybe if you're in the front, maybe God's saying, go to the back. I don't know. No, but hear what I'm saying. It's we're responding to the Lord. Yeah, and I want to take maybe the first, and this is going to be hard for some people. Let's take the first 3-4 rows of chairs back to make more way and room for guys. Yes,